goes.
So I'm gonna, the title of the message, you'll know it's blank because you knew I was preaching. but the title of the message this morning I'm going to use is Chosen. And I'll finish that in a minute. But for this, I want you to take a look at, you don't think about God's plan. I want you to look at three elders of the church, see what they're wearing today. Then I want you to look at three elders of the church's wives and see what they're wearing today. Winger number one, mint green. Winger number two, blue. Wiseman's are pink, or as I prefer to call it, peach or salmon or melon. But I went back to my roots today, and honestly, my choice was easy because I saw what Chris was wearing, so I always pick something out that matches it because I know it annoys her. Okay? Because I walked into the bathroom after I put my shirt on, and she said, I was dressed first. So I just wanted to share that real quick. Kids, you can go. I think Jess and Bray, you guys have them. Good luck. But the reason that I chose this shirt today, because I wanted to get back to my roots, and this is PS1. For those of you who have been here a while, you know that this was the original shirt I used when I preached the first message. So, it's kind of corny, I know, but it is what it is. I'm kind of goofy like that. Hey, I want to pray this morning before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, just as we go into this message, just give me the words that you want to be brought out, Lord. Take me out of the equation and just use this message to reach anybody that needs reach by it this morning, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So, Chosen. And I'm going to put my daughters on the spot because I want us to think about this. It's a, when with great privilege comes great, what? Responsibility. And that's a conversation I had with each one of my three daughters when they started driving on their own. Because now you're not only behind the wheel of a 2,000-pound vehicle, now you're responsible for anybody in your vehicle, your responsibility for other drivers. I don't worry so much about their driving skills, but I worry about all the other morons on the road. So, Chosen, with great honor, privilege, comes great responsibility. That's the official title. And I'm going to go to, I know Matt kind of used it last week, but I'm going to go to 1 Samuel today. And we're going to talk about a couple guys that were chosen for a certain responsibility. Guys, here's what I want you to understand. There's a difference between choice and chosen. We are chosen by our God through His actions. We have a choice to follow our God through our actions. They don't go together. Just because you're chosen doesn't mean you're going to do great things. Anybody follow the NBA draft other than Shelby? Charlotte did. Who was number one pick? Zion Williamson. How old is he? He's 19 years old. 19 years old. He was chosen, I don't even know what night it was, Thursday night, I think. He was chosen by the New Orleans Pelicans to be the number one draft pick in the NBA. Kid is 19 years old, and he is shouldering that franchise now because they traded their other all-star to the Lakers to be with LeBron. So this kid at 19 years old was chosen to be the face of the New Orleans Pelicans. Okay? I'll break it down even simpler. Anybody ever remember being out in the playground and having a playground pick? Right? Man, if you weren't one of those two guys or three guys picking, you wanted to be chosen when? First. want to be chosen first. Guys, he chose us first. He chose us first. Now, myself, I was a little guy. I was about this tall when I was 12. And I weighed, when I was a freshman in high school, I was 14, I think. And I weighed 89 pounds. And I played football, and I was 5'1", 89 pounds. They listed me in the program at 100 pounds. There was not a chance. With all my equipment on, I weighed 100 pounds. Okay? So I was never chosen first to be on the football team. I was never chosen first to be on the basketball team because I was just tall. So what did I have to do? Man, I had to work harder than everybody else. Okay? Guys, I'm telling you, we're chosen first. But think about the Bible. Think about all the guys in the Old Testament that were chosen. I told you before, I'm a people learner. All the guys that were chosen to do something for God. Was that just smooth sailing? Let's think about it. Moses. He was chosen to lead a people out of slavery that had been enslaved for hundreds of years. That should have been simple, right? Those people should have loved him. They did. Until the first sign of trouble came up. Okay? What about Noah? And I saw a meme or meme or whatever it's called this week. And I thought it was kind of cute. But it was Noah on the ark. And in a little balloon caption, it said, "Look, I think we found Ohio." And it's goofy. But Noah built an ark to survive the flood. And he should have been, I don't know how, I'll ask the carpenter, how hard to build an ark be? It'd be pretty tough, right? Right? But Noah built this ark to survive the flood. I would have been in awe of the ark. But these people ridiculed Noah. They made fun of Noah. They did whatever to Noah. Guess who laughed last? Noah. Okay? Let's go to Abraham. What happened to Abraham? He had a kid at 90-some years old. So the boy turned to be 12, 13 when he started going to be useful to Abraham. And what did God tell him to do? Go sacrifice him. Being chosen does not mean it's going to be easy. Okay? So I want to clear that up right now. If you're chosen to do something, I'm going to make fun of Emily here. Emily was chosen Employee of the Month this week. That's pretty cool, right? That's pretty cool. So now she has a great responsibility. She has to park in a certain spot. She has to, you know, I mean, people are going to look at Emily. People are going to look. Whenever you're given an award, they're going to watch, right? Okay? So she has great responsibility for a month. She has great responsibility all the time. But for a month, people are going to have their eyes on her. And it goes with anything we've been given. I've never been Employee of the Month because Coca-Cola doesn't do that, right? But here's a guy, Samuel. And he was one of Saul's, I don't know what he was, but I'm going to start in chapter 15, and we're just going to read bits and pieces of 15, but I'm going to start with verse 1. Samuel said to Saul, "I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men, women, children, and infants, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys." Okay? So here's Samuel, he's going to tell the king, "I'm going to anoint you as king of Israel. However, this is what God is telling you to do." So Saul is chosen. Okay? He is chosen to be king. Okay, long story short, they go to war. We're going to skip down to verse 16. They're successful. Now we're going to, in verse 9, sorry. He took what he, king of the Amalekites and all of his people, and he totally destroyed them with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and the lambs, and everything was good. Everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak they totally destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. Remember what God had told him before. Destroy everything. And he says, I regret that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was angry and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Guys, we do that in our Christianity. I hate to say it, but we do it. Because what happens? We're chosen to do something, and then we start into the task we're chosen to do, and then we go our own way. God gave pretty detailed instructions what to do. He was going to deliver them. They already knew they were going to win when they went into that battle. All they had to do was take care of everything. Get rid of it. Wipe it clean. Nothing there was holy. So then Samuel, who was chosen by the Lord, gets to deal with Saul. Samuel's man. So here in verse 12, early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul. But he was told, Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone down to Gilgal. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, the Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions. This kind of cracks me up because this is Saul trying to hide what he's doing, right? He's telling Samuel, man, I am good. I did exactly what God wanted me to do, right? Why are you in Carmel? But Samuel said, what then is the bleating of sheep in my ears? What is the lowing of cattle that I hear? Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. And then I see Samuel, enough. Samuel said to Saul, let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Tell me, Saul replied. And at this point, I'm wondering if Saul isn't shaking a little bit because he's scared because he knows he did wrong, right? Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, you did not become the head of the tribes of Israel. The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Make war on them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took the sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. So guys, here we are. Saul made a choice because those soldiers were not going to save anything if they were told to destroy everything, right? Saul knew that went on. And he was actually bringing them to honor himself. Maybe in God's eyes, but in his response, he says, we're doing it to honor God. Guys, when we're chosen, it's not going to be easy. And when we're chosen, we're going to make mistakes. What do we do with those mistakes is what's important. And I talked about it a couple weeks ago in graduation service that Monique and Hunter were kind of out on their own now, and they're going to make choices, they're going to make mistakes. But it's what we do with those mistakes. Do we own our own mistakes? You can't hide it from God. He knew it happened. Who are you hiding it from? Samuel, really, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Right? But I think Saul was trying to get Samuel's approval because he thought through Samuel's approval, he was going to get approval of God. So he was trying to hide it. I love Samuel's reply here. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. So again, we go back to being chosen. Saul was chosen. Saul thought, I'm chosen. I'm the chosen one, right? I can do no wrong. We are still responsible for our actions. God paid the price, but we're going to answer for him. Okay? So then the rest of that story is, Saul says, hey, I've sinned, I violated the Lord's command, and I was afraid of the men rebelling against me, so I gave in to them and let them keep the sheep and the cattle. Forgive me and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. How'd you like to be Samuel in this whole mess? Right? He's chosen to anoint a king. And he finds out this king kind of a doofus. Right? He's kind of a doofus because Saul got that power and he got that arrogance about him that he thought he was bigger than what he was. Do we do that as Christians? Sure. Maybe I'm the only one that does that. I might be. I hope so. But I do that. You can ask my wife and kids. I'm pretty arrogant sometimes. But usually I come back to my ways that I should be. I love this too. As Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught hold of the hem of his robe and it tore. And Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today, and it has given to one of your neighbors, to one better than you. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a human being that he should change his mind." Saul replied, "I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me that I may worship the Lord your God." So again, Saul's arrogance shows. Because all Saul really wants to do is look good in front of the people. Then Samuel said, "Bring me Agag, king of the Amalekites." Agag came into him in chains, and he thought, "Surely the bitterness of death is past." But Samuel said, As your sword has made women childless, so will your mother be childless among women." And Samuel put Agag to death before the Lord at Gilgal. Then Samuel left for Ramah, but Saul went up to his home. you'll be of Saul. Until that day, until the day Samuel died, he did not go to see Saul again, though Samuel mourned for him. And the Lord regretted that he made Saul king over Israel. So here is Samuel. He is tore up that he anointed Saul king because he was told to do so. Right? That was the plan. That was God's plan. Samuel was the middle guy. But it said, the Lord regretted that he made Saul king. Do not let the Lord regret that he died on the cross for us. Okay, then we're going to move out of Saul. We're going to... What do we know about David? This is the second part of Samuel's... And I got to hustle. But this is the second part of Samuel's mission, was to anoint a new king, right? And when we go to anoint a new king, what do we look for? Big, powerful dude. He's a leader of men. Probably one of the... You know, he's probably a... oldest son of somebody. He's probably, maybe he is one of the people with the most money, the most power, whatever. That's what we think, right? God says, I got another plan. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. Anybody know what Jesse did? I believe he owned a lot of livestock, right? He had a lot of tents. He had a lot of sons. He owned a lot of livestock. He was pretty powerful. As far as shepherds can be powerful, right? But Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. So guys, God's plan is perfect. He had thought about Saul in this whole deal with Samuel, and he had a protection for Saul. Go so you can show sacrifice to me, and ask Jesse to come. Okay? Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem... Anybody else find it pretty perfect that he arrived at Bethlehem? Some good things happened in Bethlehem. The elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, do you come in peace? Samuel replied, yes, I come in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab, and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. Okay, so this is like a parade, right? They're coming into this sacrifice, and Jesse brings his whole group of sons. Well, almost. But he brings his oldest first, right? And I'm not sure. Jesse may or may not have known. The Lord may have spoke to Jesse and said, hey, I'm going to appoint one of your boys king. I don't know. But Jesse brings his son, his oldest one comes first. And I suppose that's the way it went. You know, when you're introducing, you introduce your oldest all the way through your youngest. But Samuel was fired up, man. He was ready to anoint the oldest one king. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things human beings look at. Please look People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at his heart. Guys, I don't care what we look like on the outside. I don't care the people we come in contact with every single day. What happens? You know, I see some homeless people. Sometimes I just drive by because I'm scared the way they look. Right? There's other times where I'll stop in Marion. Because I'll see an older gentleman that's just struggling. And man, you end up giving them maybe a little money or maybe a sandwich or whatever. But you know what? I'm convinced that when I stop and talk to that elderly gentleman, he is more excited that I stopped and talked to him than what the reward he got from me was. And that's cool. That's cool. I'm not telling you to stop and talk to everybody you see on the side of the road. But God knows where our heart is. God knows where our heart is. And that's what he's interested in. You know, you can be the best looking poster child for whatever muscle or whatever you want. If your heart's no good, God doesn't care what you look like on the outside. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" Can you imagine Jesse at this point? He'd be like, "Man, I was hoping the king was going to come from my sons. But it doesn't look like he is. These are my king-worthy sons." Right? And Samuel's saying, "No. There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending to the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." Guys, God's waiting on us. God's waiting on us. He wants to sit down with us in heaven. And he is waiting for all of the us that he chose to die for. He wants us to make a choice to live for him because of what he chose to do. So he sent and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came on David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. Guys, David was chosen. And you can go on and you can read David's whole story. In fact, I encourage you to. It's a great story. We had VBS here, I don't know, it's probably been 10 years ago, 12 years ago. But I remember it was David, a man after God's own heart. That's what impressed God about David, not that he was this big, muscular dude that could lead men. He had a great heart. He was out serving his father, tending the sheep. Probably when he knew all the older brothers were going to the feast or the whatever. Okay? Now, David was chosen, so his life was probably just easy after that, right? Once you're chosen, man, you got it made. wrong. David committed some very, very bad sins. David struggled in life. David, but you know what? Even when David committed the sins, he was still well received in God's eyes because of his heart. Where are you today with your heart? I know we all work hard on our outward appearance. You know, for the first time in my life, I think about whether shoes match what I'm wearing. That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. We're going to a wedding next weekend in North Carolina for Chris's cousin. And I don't wear shirt and ties very often, and so I had to go buy a shirt and tie because some of my shirts are too big. Some of them not the right color. I have some white ones that still fit me, but Chris said, no, you're not wearing white. Okay. So I went and bought a shirt and tie. And while I'm standing there, because I don't like buying shirt and ties and dress clothes, and I said, man. But I don't know. Lindsay, who also doesn't like to shop. Here's Lindsay's idea of shopping. Computer, Google, Amazon, ship it to my house. I swear we get 5 Amazon deliveries a week. And they're all the same order. Why can't these companies send them all at once? They don't. They come in bits and pieces. But Lindsay did go shopping, and she got me some Kohl's rewards cards. So I told Chris, I said, well, I ought to be able to get a shirt and tie and a pair of pants for $30, shouldn't I? Wrong. Wrong. So I picked out a shirt and tie. My moral of the story is I picked out a shirt and tie, but then I worried because I said, man, I can't wear khaki pants with that, can I? Chris was like, no, you can't wear khaki pants with that, moron. It's a blue shirt with a black and blue striped tie. You're going to wear black pants. So I said, that means I have to go buy a black pair of shoes. So I worry about my outward appearance, and for the first time in my life, I worry about whether my shoes match. If I ever start worrying about whether my socks match or not, we got a problem, right? So my point is, God doesn't really care what I wear to that wedding. He doesn't. In fact, I came down last night, I tried my shirt and tie on, and I came down, I had my khaki shorts on and my flip-flops. And I wanted to send a picture to Aunt Joanne because she'd be the crazy one that would gripe about what I'm wearing. Of my great look upper half and my flip-flops. Because if you've ever seen my feet in flip-flops, you know I don't worry about appearances. But God wants me to go to that wedding because of the love I have for family. He doesn't care what I wear. Some of the people there might, but I doubt it. And that's why I told him last night was Rochelle is not going to care a lick what I wear, nor is she going to remember what I wear. She's going to remember that I was there, maybe. Guys, God chose you to come to Him. Please work on your relationship with God. And make that choice to come to Him. Because once He chose us, He could have been like a dictator and said, yep, they're mine. They're mine. But we serve a God that was arrogant like that? We would, out of defiance, probably. We would because we have to. God doesn't want you to have to. He wants you to want to. That's why we have a choice to serve the chosen one. Alright? So that's my prayer this week, is everybody's in different spots with their relationship. Let's really think about what He chose when He chose us. Why He chose when He chose us. And I think what that will do is it'll make us look in and see our hearts. See where our heart is. See where our mind's at. They can be in two different places. Our mind is still worrying about the outward appearance, but our heart doesn't care what we look like on the outside. God doesn't care what you look like on the outside. God doesn't care what your house looks like. God doesn't care what your car looks like. God does not care about any of that junk. He cares about what is right here. Thank goodness that our God chose me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we're in all of your plan. We're in all of being chosen to represent you here on earth, Lord. And we are in all of being chosen to sit at your right hand for eternity. Lord, just put people in our paths this week and put us in situations that we can show our heart for you, our love for you, and show that to somebody else, Lord. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we praise your name. In your name we pray. Amen. So the praise team will be here and the elders will be here. And if you have concerns, prayer concerns, if you have anything you need prayer for, anything you need some help with, anything you need, guidance, please come forward. Please come forward. Last thing I will share, I know you guys got a prayer chain about Chris's father this week. Last weekend was a rough weekend. He has sepsis, which is a blood bacterial infection or something. So they are treating him. He got out of the hospital on Monday, doing better. And we just thank you for the prayers and know that God works.